Our text for today is the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I will not reread it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Last week, Jesus spoke of being the Good Shepherd. And that makes we, the Christian, well, His sheep. Today, our Lord asserts, I am the true vine, and go am I, making Christians then the branches. This is the last of the I am statements that John records. And Jesus is making here a contrast between himself and the Old Testament patriarch Joseph. Joseph, who was called the fruitful vine in Genesis 49, 22. The reference to the father as the vine dresser is also a reference to Isaiah's first vineyard song, as Isaiah records in Isaiah 5. That God tends for His vineyard and cares for it only to receive wild grapes in return. And we already confessed today that those wild grapes are us. The figure of the vine and the branches emphasizes our dependence on Jesus for our life now and our life for eternity. Only by our being grafted into Jesus, the true vine, can we, the branches, bear any fruit. And we know a branch without fruit, well, is dead. As James tells us, faith without works is dead. So Jesus says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, good works do not cause justification. Rather, it is justification that brings forth good works. Our own confessions say, in the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, it speaks this way. We cannot keep the law without Christ's aid. He Himself says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So before we keep the law, our hearts must be born again. Or as we learned yesterday with Dr. Weinrich, probably a better way of saying that is begotten. Begotten from above through faith. And in the Augsburg Confession, well, it puts it this way. Without faith, human nature does not call upon God, nor expect anything from Him, nor bear the cross. Instead, the human nature seeks and trusts in human help. So when there is no faith and trust in God, all kinds of lust and human intentions rule in the hearts. This is why Christ says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus' statement that He is the true vine connects Him with all of Israel as the vine that Isaiah had spoken of in his vineyard songs. This is how he puts it in chapter 5, verse 7 of Isaiah. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are His pleasant plantings. And He looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, and for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. And here the prophet Jeremiah responds to Isaiah's proclamation that they turned degenerate and became a wild vine, that is Israel, or the church. And now the true vine has appeared, and through Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection, the once ready to be burned branches are grafted back into Christ. Through faith in Jesus, all mankind now becomes a member of God's people and has a place in God's house by being incorporated in the true vine. Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, who is the one man Israel that will not fail, even when it means going to a Roman cross and dying, is the one who intercedes on our behalf. The Father, the vine dresser, cares not only for the vine, but also its branches, as the vine dresser is glorified by the fruit that the branches produce through the life that the vine gives to the branches. Because of sin, we, the branches, have no fruit. Instead, what resides in us is only death. And we deserve, as we confess today, to be then cut off, taken out, and burned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Left in our sins and the presence of God becomes then only a damning presence. a cutting off presence, a throwing away to be burned presence, to be burned with unquenchable fire presence. That is a horrifying presence. The vine, however, is without sin, yet became sin so that we might receive the righteousness of God. And just as branches receive all they need to survive from the vine, so we fruitless dead branches receive the life-giving, life-cleansing through Jesus Christ in His life-changing Word and the working of the Holy Ghost. Through the gift of faith, we who are dead in our trespasses and sins are brought to life to bear the fruit of love for our neighbors, which is a result of loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength that the vine gives us to do. Our sinful nature desires, however, the opposite. Our sinful nature desires to cut us off from the true vine, rather to seek death rather than life, making ourselves only fit for burning. But by the grace of God, we have been given faith and returned to the vine with repentant hearts. And this pruning causes us to bear much fruit because of the richness of the vine. Jesus puts it this way: abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. We, the wild branches, since conception, have to be grafted back onto the vine by God's grace. And through faith, as the Holy Ghost works in and through the means of grace, God's Word, God's water, joined with His Word, and His bread and wine, joined again to His Word and promises, that all graft us back onto the vine. Therefore, being in God's house faithfully is of utmost importance, as the life-giving, life-changing Word of God is ours, and it is declared here today, not only in the liturgy and the reading of Scripture, but in the sermon and the hymns and in the gift of the supper. The same life-giving, life-changing Word of God is joined to us as we remember our own baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thus cleansing us and grafting us formerly dead, fruitless branches into the life-restoring vine that is Jesus Christ in His death and His resurrection. The same life-giving, life-changing Word of God is joined also to the simple elements of bread and wine, which bring us the very body and blood of Christ, and joins all His branches to the true vine for life and an eternal. Second century Bishop of Clement of Alexandria spoke this way of vine: the vine produces wine as the Word produces blood, and both are drunk for the health of the men and women. Wine for the body, blood for the spirit. You see, fruit bearing is why Jesus is commanding His disciples of all ages to remain joined to Him. The fruit that He requires is what we often struggle with, because we ask, what fruit? What fruit are you talking about? And while I may have a whole litany of fruits I would love to see, it's not about what I would love to see. It's rather about what the Father has required. And what He has required is quite simply love. Just that. Following our text for today, verses 9 through 13, Jesus expounds on this point as He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. As all glory is given to the Father, as the branches bear fruits, that is, works of love for neighbors through faith in God, in our God-given vocations. as we serve one another in faith in Christ, that as Christian branches can't help to do it. It's part of our very nature because the vine that is joined to us is good. And so be it from what the world might view as the lowliest form of service to the most spectacular good work in the eyes of all, in faith, it is all Christ's good fruit. And we are to do it all to the glory of the Father. The promise the Lord gives us in our text is the assurance that the Father, that is the vine dresser, will give us what we desire. And there we run again into some problems because of our flesh. And rather than expound on this myself like I've done in the past, I'd like to share with you a statement from Augustine, the bishop of Hippo, who was a 4th century bishop, mid-300s. He writes this way, "If you abide in me," he says, "and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. For when someone abides in Christ in this way, is there anything he or she can wish for besides what will be agreeable to Christ? When they abide in the Savior in this way, can they wish for anything that is inconsistent with salvation? Some things, indeed, we wish for because we are in Christ, and other things we desire because we are still in this world. For at times, in connection with our present living quarters, we are inwardly prompted to ask what we know would not be expedient for us to receive. But God forbid that such a thing should be given to us if we abide in Christ, who when we ask only does what will be for our advantage. Abiding in Him, when His Word abides in us, we shall ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us. For if we ask, and the doing does not follow, what we ask must not be connected with our abiding in Him, or with His words that abide in us. Instead, they must be connected with the craving and infirmity of the flesh that are not in Him and do not have His word abiding in them. For to His words, at all events, belongs that prayer that He taught and in which we say, Our Father who art in heaven, let us not only fall away from the words let us only not fall away from the words and meanings of this prayer in our petitions, and whatever we ask shall be done unto us. For his words may only be said to abide in us when we do what he has commanded us and love what he has promised. But when his words abide only in our memory and have no place in our life, the branch is not in the vine because it does not draw its life from the root." You see, we are redeemed and restored. Our hearts have to be restored, made new. Our desires have to be changed to what the Father desires. And what the Father desires is all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, as Paul says. This includes even people we disagree with, even people that, well, hate us, or we personally aren't too fond of them either, even people who drive us just crazy. You see, if this is not our desire, how can we say that we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves? This love is what makes our helping around here at Pilgrim so very important. For this love is what even gives our offerings their very purpose. For these fruits make the proclamation of the gospel possible here at Pilgrim, and that proclamation also possible around the world. So let us repent of loving ourselves more than God and our neighbor, and pray that the Father will prune away our self-serving thoughts and desires. For we know that the Father is the one who gives us our daily bread. That's why, while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, as the true vine died and rose again, so that his branches could be grafted back to life in him and through him, and now have life now and for all eternity. With repentant hearts, then let us hear the words of absolution, announcing the forgiveness of our sins, even our lack of love for others and our excessive love of self. Today, we are, through faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, living branches, grafted onto the living true vine, the ego am I, Jesus Christ, God with us. May we have his peace as our lives prove that we are his disciples, bearing his fruit until Jesus returns. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.